All right, we'll begin the Finance Standing Committee Board, Finance Standing Committee meeting. And the time is 10 a.m. We have roll call.
General Manager Davies.
Here.
Director Lee.
Here.
Director Mayer.
Here.
Finance Manager Bryce.
Here.
Okay, at this time we'll open it up for public comments. Seeing nobody else in the room, we will close public comments. There are no minutes since this is our first meeting. We go to discussion items. Number one, establish bylaws for the Finance Standing Committee.
Is this the same format as the other committees?
Yes, it is.
Four copies or five copies of the same.
I don't know why. Yeah, why are we here?
Do you have, it's double sided.
I know.
Yeah.
Is it,
and then I have it again.
Do you have it again?
Yeah, why are we here?
That's
okay.
That's, oh my goodness. I just really went copy crazy.
It was a long day.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So, with that, do we have any comments or questions?
I don't know if we see
I do
know. Meeting date and time.
I guess by consensus we'll adopt these?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to adopt these, Carol.
You were on last year?
Okay, but this is the first time we've ever had. This is the first ever meeting of the Finance.
The standing committee.
Really?
Oh.
We had a Finance Committee, but it was not of this, not this one.
So we'll go to item two. Discuss.
Back to five.
Right, which is the setting the committee meeting dates.
Mondays work great for me.
Yeah,
Mondays
work really
good. You're okay.
You like Mondays at what time?
10 o'clock works for me. 10 o'clock is good. So as needed, Mondays at 10. Is that good?
Yep.
Earlier better?
Yep. Later. No, Monday at 10 is perfect.
Monday at 10.
How often did you want to meet?
Well, it's at least quarterly. And then, as needed, as you see fit, or if one of us would like to have a meeting.
Okay. Okay, so we'll go quarterly and as needed. And now let's establish Finance Standing Committee Chair and Vice Chair.
Chair.
Chair. Fine. I don't think I was going
to
say.
Do you want to go for a year or for the switch off? Or
year for year. Yeah.
Okay, so Bill Mayer, first year chairman. And then Bob Lee, second year chairman. And with that chair, I hand it over to you for the remainder of the meeting.
Okay. So we can check off the bylaws and Finance Standing Committee, number one, number two, discuss community calendar, set the community dates. See, I wasn't keeping up now that I have the responsibility. Establish Finance Standing Committee Chair, we just did. We're almost ready to go home. Discuss the upcoming budget calendar for 17-18 and 18-19 budget adoption.
So I, every year I present a budget calendar, and these are the dates that we're going to meet. Either it shows everything. It shows when I'm meeting with staff, and then when I'm going to be rolling out the budget to the board and a budget workshop. And so these dates right now are all Wednesdays. If these dates work for you, it really starts with the responsibility with meeting committee on April 26th. May 10th if needed. So if there weren't any changes from April 26th to May 10th, we don't need to meet again. May 17th, that's when I just roll out the budget to the board. I just hand it to them, and they take it and review it. And then we show up the next Wednesday to a budget workshop, and we walk through with all staff available, piece by piece of the budget. And then I present the budget. It's a very light presentation to the board of directors at a board meeting. And then on the 21st, the board would adopt the budget.
Okay, so then that this committee will see it April 26th for the first time.
That's correct. Okay. And it would have other staff members here as well.
Is that a good time and date for you?
If you'd like to make it earlier, that's even better, but whatever you
prefer. What day are you doing, the 26th?
It is a Wednesday. They are set all the dates on a Wednesday. So.
Always a Wednesday?
Mm-hmm, they are.
Wednesday is also a
okay. It is? Okay.
3:30 is fine.
3:30 is fine? Okay.
3:30 is fine.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And then I will send out calendar invites. Probably Carol, if you would help me with that, mm-hmm. and we'll have them on your calendar for you. Okay. And then I think Carol, you send reminders as well. Do you
yes.
do that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So April 26th, we'll do it in here.
Yes, we will.
Yes. You need to reserve.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And is this one? I know it is, but I'll ask you.
Sure.
Is it open to the public as well?
They didn't. They never used to be. Only the board workshop was. But now, I mean, it's up to you. Do you want them to be open to the public or not? I mean, these are discussions where we can move and change and move the budget.
Well, I figure
so.
With all the laws that they have saying that we can't talk about it.
Well,
I would love not to have the public in this on the preliminary because you're really going through it.
You are going through it for the first time, yeah. and you can have open discussions. The board workshop was always public.
Yeah,
it's you're welcome. Nobody's ever shown up, but it is open to the public. That one is, and then any board meetings, of course, sir.
Okay.
So,
well, the board workshop, you've got 5 board members, so you're having.
That's great. Yes, you are.
Okay.
Okay. Good.
All right.
And I'm not skipping public. For the record, we opened it up to the public, but the public had no comment. Okay.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Discuss water meter completion project.
I didn't add that one on. I'm sorry.
Yes, you didn't include the opt out stuff.
That's
also
wastewater.
Okay.
This afternoon, one of these days, yeah. I'll just brief you on where we are in the water meter completion project. We're still in phase one, but what we did is we've completed all the ones and twos in phase one, and we're going back today and picking up the phase threes, which are the hardscape. So this is where we might get some feedback from some of the homeowners. This would be the likely time for that. So they're engaged in doing that. I will be bringing Bernie.
Okay, and I asked, do we have any addresses for the third level, third category?
Yeah, I have them at the office.
Can you email me one or two addresses? I'd just like to go by and see what it looks like.
Okay, I'll have to get this.
Just so that I'm aware, because I know I'll have people, what constitutes, if I see it, I'm going to have a better understanding of the complexity.
Okay. I think they're out there today. Are they not actually working?
They should be out there today.
I saw a sign, the sawhorses out there on Newport.
Mm-hmm.
So there must be a couple on that street, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And what we will be bringing to the Water and Wastewater Committee information concerning what an opt-out program would look like if in terms of replacing the smart meter with either an analog meter or going with not putting in the cell transmission device, and what that would look like and what the approximate costs in today's dollars would be for manual meter reading in those circumstances, and then we'll leave it up to the committee and recommendation on that to bring back to the board. So, any questions?
A comment would be we have to see how many people opt out. But if we had a manual meter read, we'd have full time employees and their salaries would be dispersed amongst the entire community. Having a handful of people means that we have to take someone else, either hire a full-time person and dispense that to the 5, 6, 10, 12 people, or a part-time person that comes off their normal job to go over and do it. So it's we're doing it for a reason, the electronic. PG&E's doing it. Everybody has microwaves, everybody has Wi-Fis, everybody has everything else. It has 100-fold times more radiation than these transponders. They're very minimal. So it should not be cheap, is my point. Now, I'm not trying to get back at people, but there's a cost to us and a burden to us. So it shouldn't be one of those that they pay an extra $2. My point is you shouldn't cover the cost of the effort that we put in.
It would be a cost recovery, so we would actually...
We can't make any profit.
We have separated out the time that it would take, and that's a fully burdened time, including all the benefits and overhead, which is the proper way to cost out that time, along with truck use for transportation over there. And we figured it would be about 15 minutes is what it would take to drive over there, read it, drive back. And that amount comes to just under $30. I think it was like $27 or something like that. And that would be a separate line item on the bill that that person would have to pay.
So the other question would be, we can't be the first community that offers an opt-out. Do we know of any others?
We do, off the top of my head. I can't rattle them off. But I actually had our town attorney do the research on one whether or not an opt-out had to be offered. And the research says no, it does not. And it did mention two or three other communities that offered the opt-out program, but I never followed up with those communities.
Once we come up with the number, I would suggest we follow up with at least one other community.
Well, just for our comparison, if we're $20-something dollars, are they $3 or are they $30? Just to see where we are in the marketplace.
Okay.
And then it sounds like you're going forward with at least coming up with.
Well, we're going to bring it to the committee, and then we'll have the committee kind of contribute to the thought process, such as you just did, and then bring it before the board.
But we do have an option to not offer an opt-out, correct? Legally?
Yes.
Okay. And will we know before we make that decision how many are going to go for the opt-out? We will not, will we?
We have one.
One right now. And so the question would be, do we have an opt-out for one person out of 7,000 people? It might be easier, instead of doing all the comparisons and doing a lot of the footwork, to look at it and say, maybe we should look at this first, whether we want to offer it or not.
It's not going to be much for me to call up the water department at these three agencies to get general idea.
And find out what their participation rates are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
1% of their people, or 10% is it 3 people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So good suggestion. We will do that.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Okay.
That concludes that presentation.
I just want to mention the spreadsheet for costing this all out is amazing. I mean, I just scroll. But we're starting to make sure we capture all those costs now, so that we're doing it as the project's going, so that it's not a big task at the end.
Yeah, it wouldn't bother me if it was $500, but you have to justify that.
That's correct. So every address
has
$500.
Yes.
So it's going well. So
now we're a couple of months into the meter project. What is it? And we want it to be done by August. But where are we? We have 3,500 meters to do. How many have we done? Approximately.
As of last week, I think it was like 280 something.
Okay.
280, I believe. I'll double check with Justin today and just follow up and make sure.
So less than 10% done, and we're way into the project. It seems to be that something's
not jiving.
And remember, there was over a week of rain days.
I'll take 9 days out. That's fine.
Yeah.
But
we're in
even take the 9 days out, it seems to me that the progress isn't what was explained to us back in the fall.
Yes.
So I think, I don't know if someone needs to jump on JW Backhoe and say, get moving, or if we need to start thinking about, are we going to be done by December 31st?
We have started to think about that. Okay. So, yeah, so Mike and I have had discussions because I'm trying to think far ahead of what's going to happen.
Well, because I'm thinking if we're not, is January 1 the flip over to monthly billing?
Right.
If you haven't got a meter in, how are you going to bill these people?
You can't, right.
Which means you, and by August, we have to know that.
Yes.
In terms of doing the property tax issue. So, you know, in the next couple of months, I think some decisions need to be made about what our timing is.
Yeah. Yep. We have, we have a timeline in my office, and we're constantly going, oh my gosh.
And I think that would be very helpful to present to the board, just probably as part of your management report, is that, you know, as of today, we're 20% done. 20% of the meters have been done, and we're 30% of our time. So, you know, when do we start matching up our time to our completion? And our cost. The cost, you did a real nice job on that presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So if I'm speculating, but if we delay past January 1, we aren't delaying month by month because you're going to take it off the tax roll, right? So it's going to be 6 month, half year.
Well, if
we delay,
but we need to know that by the first week in August.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Because they'll
be
that's what you're
dropping.
That's
right.
But it wouldn't be a month by month. It'd be July.
It'd be July 1.
And if we go to July, that means payback. The bond's going to be on us, and we're going to be making payments on the bond, and that just delays payback by 6 months.
Because they'll be on the property tax, so you'll get a
What I think Bob is saying is that we, by August, we're either going to charge them for 6 months on the property tax, or we need to charge them for the full year on the property tax, or three quarters of the year. It just, we need to know that number by the beginning of August. To know how we're going to be getting our money back in.
Right.
And so, you know, it's really important that we follow the dates and the timelines.
So if we get half of them, let's just say really good suddenly, and we get half of them, half would be on the payment plan. We wouldn't just push them all out 6 months. If we've got meters installed, that's a decision we have to make.
That's right. So, and also we had discussions, we've actually talked about this with our bond group as well, and so we're not going to be paying on that bond until 2018.
Yeah.
So we've already just said, okay, this is not going to happen. We need to push this out. So I think we're paying interest in June of
2018.
Yeah, 2018, and then in December we'll start paying the principal and the interest. Yes. So, that's right. So we've kind of already mapped this out a little bit, knowing we're behind. And so we're trying to always think or 7 months ahead to make sure we're going to...
I say it's knocking on the wood, we are on top of it all at this point.
Oh, yeah.
We're thinking about these things.
Mm-hmm. And then, it's not in conjunction with it, but along the same subject, is the next project coming up. I haven't seen any layout on the roadmap of what year we start doing the denitrification.
Oh, okay. So we just had last week our CIP meeting. So, and it wasn't a public meeting, it was just with staff and engineers. And so we went through our entire map for the next 5 years.
Good.
We've just kind of refined it, made changes. I sent the changes out to everybody for them to review it. And then that's what we would be bringing back to the board. So you'll see that
with
the budget. Yep, you will see it. Okay. You will see it.
That's important to see because a lot of decisions we make today, we got to make sure we've got these things in series so that we don't have to go out and do more bonds.
Correct.
Doing the bond with the water meter actually helped us on the other upcoming ones.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps.
I'm going to assume maybe. I'm going to hope.
Yeah. It depends on how you decide to build D-Night.
Yeah.
So we'll put it there.
D-Nitrification is D-Nitrification.
That's correct. And so that will determine our next step and how do we need to fund it.
So there's still a debate what the cost is for that?
There's a debate on what type of project may be necessary.
Okay.
And part of what figures into the debate is that you can, if we're using today's numbers, we can probably go smaller and cheaper. But once we make that commitment, because going smaller and cheaper essentially means putting the denitrification process within the oxidation, which means we would lose, it's like putting an ice cube in a glass of water, it takes up volume. So what happens is our NPDES permit, which we're at 2.37 now, would drop down because we can't process as much. And so now, here we are. And then if
we don't have data today that says, well, a change in behavior after the drought, et cetera, increased use coupled with growth, and now we've limited ourselves by being cheap now and twice as expensive later on. So it's a strategy.
So it's like we've got a 3/4-inch garden hose and we're attaching a 1/2-inch on the end of it, right? That we're limiting at the tail end.
Putting it in a water funnel.
Yeah. Right.
What's fascinating to me is there seems to be two ways to build it, and that's it. There's no way to build it, and then you can expand on it later. So there's two ways to build it. It's this way or this way. And so we need to make sure we decide we have the right data and make the right decision.
So I don't think we're uncertain at the fact that we've got more capacity than we need.
At this stage.
And the way to validate using, you know, you said today's numbers, whether we use today's numbers or the master plan numbers, I would assume is a thought process. So how soon can we, we are going for a new master plan.
We're going for a new master plan, but the hiccup is that you really need to look at the numbers over a period of time. And the fact is these new low flow numbers were brought on by the drought. The drought is now ending. So what numbers can you truly rely on in the master plan? So we roll out the master plan a year or 2 years from now, start collecting all the data. Will that data still be relevant 3 years from now if there's a change in behavior or what have you?
But we have data from pre-drought.
Which
would be per capita, per household, per whatever.
It's a 10-year span of data you're looking at.
So they can take the drought years out and figure out what maybe your more peak numbers might be.
Well, let me throw in a little curveball. Meters are going in.
Yeah.
So it's a weird period of time we're trying to do this,
The master plan should account for all of those factors. And we do know that California will be in a drought, some sort of a drought level for the rest of its life. Mm-hmm. Unless they dig a couple more holes in the ground and store more water. Mm-hmm. So they haven't done anything in years, so it's not going away. So this year they'll say the drought restrictions are softening, but you're going to see, I think, they still. But that's what they would do in the.
But you have to build for your peaks. You can't build for your average.
I know.
Correct.
Yes. So my take is, a master plan should be. So I don't know if I heard. Are we going to have a new master plan this year?
Or we are budgeting to have. Well, you won't have it this year. The master plan takes quite a bit of time, but we will be. Yeah, we're budgeting for doing the master plan for wastewater and water, and we're also considering a master plan for park and rec.
That's going to be the next comment. Yeah, we should do that. And in that, maybe we're going deeper than we need to, but we got time, right? So, who do we go to? We're going to see more than just one master plan supplier. So we had Greg. What's Greg's?
Stantec. He utilizes Stantec typically.
Okay, we believe, at least me coming in new, so I can speak kind of candidly, is that it looks like it's a little higher than it needs to be. That's not really candid. That's softened. And we only had one group do it, and it didn't seem like there was any checks or balance on that. So criticizing ourselves. And so the next plan has to have some safeguards.
Yeah, and which committee that we talk about that with, I'm not sure, maybe several, but I agree. But then, you have somebody developing the plan and then you have somebody auditing the plan.
I think what he's saying is that we've always gone to the same vendor time after time. And maybe it would be good to put this out as a request as an RFP, and let's get some thoughts from other vendors as to how they might approach a water wastewater master plan, whether it's people who have done it before or maybe someone who's never done business here before.
So that was a question, and Bob's exactly right, but you're right too. If we go back to the same vendor, the weakness that we had was there was nobody to validate it. Whether they check it and do another master plan, I would look at it and say, could Virgil do it? I probably not. Yeah. But that's the idea, it's a concept. Somebody has to have that level of expertise that says, looks good, looks right. Because this one looks like it was really exaggerated on capacity. And when challenged, because we had the wrong numbers, is that right?
So because the numbers have changed.
We did not have the wrong numbers.
The numbers changed because of the drought, but even take the drought.
No,
it
changed because of the development. And
that's correct.
People thought that, you know, things were going to happen on the south side, right, and everything that was going to happen over
here.
Over here was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all of it booming.
I think it was written many years ago, before I even got here. And so they're trying to guesstimate what's going to happen in the future.
So
and all these different developers. So they expanded everything to fit that growth.
And
so, but today, those growths didn't happen. So it looks as though, you know, we should have looked at it probably again, you know, and had it redone.
So Mike, I just want to make sure there's a safeguard. How we do that, it's our choice. It doesn't mean we get two to do it, charging us $150,000 each or whatever.
No, but you can have someone audit the plan, I guess. Would be,
well, you know, it depends on, you know, say if you put an RFP out there to engineering firms that do master plans, see what they offer.
Yeah.
Right now we have a data point, and whether that's good or bad, I have no clue.
Right.
But if you look at, you know, two or three or four companies, have them prepare an RFP for you. Look at it and say, well, this one, maybe they've got different approaches. Yeah. They all do a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're all going to come up, hopefully, with a rational, professional opinion as to what, you know, what the system is and what it, you know, what we need to make it fit the future. And they'll put some costs on it. But lots of people can do it.
I always believe that vendors that have been with you a long term always take priority in my mind. But you always have to safeguard yourself to make sure you get somebody else looking at it as well. Because sometimes there's a comfort zone that comes with that relationship, and you don't want that.
Well, it's like a construction project, and you get comfortable with a firm that's doing your design for you, but it's at a certain point you want to have somebody come in and look over their shoulder and do a little value engineering and say, is this constructible? Is this the most efficient way to do it? And, you know, they've got a different slant.
And then there is a plan to do as you just alluded to, community center, parks and recreation master plan.
Well, we'd like to put that on the CAP. How expensive is that going to be? And of course, that comes right out of the budget again from park and rec side.
I know.
So you may be stubbing your toe. You know.
Well, I think we're facing a situation right now. We're still $200,000 in the hole in this. We just put a new roof on it. We still got a great deal for the property and the land, but we've got to find a way to get this turned around. It doesn't mean we make it a profit. Typically, they aren't, but we have to be able to support it over the next decade or more. And how do we do that? Master plan will help us. And with a master plan, it'll tell us if we're off target or on target, making it easier to make decisions as you move down the path. The idea is, you know, make this thing work, but to what degree, we don't know. We have no master plan. And I've seen some of the drawings that Mac has for the future for this. They look pretty impressive. I really like them. How do we make it happen? I don't know. You know, but we got to put it on paper so we can follow that. You started to say.
Yeah, well, it's just a matter of, you know, we can think about all the things that would be nice to be here, but how are we going to fund just what we have? There's kind of a first threshold issue, is how do we survive, and then how do we thrive beyond that?
Right. Yeah.
And right now, I think we're sort of in survival mode, is that, you know, that $200,000 a year, eventually we're going to run out of money. And at some point, if you run out of money, we start locking the gates here. That's not a particularly palatable solution, so we got to figure out a way to make this happen.
And doing a master plan for the community center might take away money that would give us
tennis courts.
Well,
don't have to weigh that.
Correct. I realize.
And something, yeah. And so, if you have to throw the baby out, let's try to keep the bathwater. Let's, you know, maybe we can all come together at a workshop, and where it's us, and we facilitate our own, master plan.
I would not put that past our ability. But it has to be put down. We have to look at where we're driving. And we have to look at milestones in the future that we can say we're on target or off target. Right. If we look at it and say, we're not going to make any changes from now on, we know it's $200,000 a year, when's the time to, when, how long do we have before we lock the door?
Right.
Then we'll know that date, because it's not going to go on forever, obviously, at the rate we're going. But we can go put targets out there, and we bring in a little, we put a little money in, whatever we have to do to make it happen. That's where the master plan will help us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I agree with that. However we do it, cheap or expensive.
One thing I'd like to see, at least at these meetings, if not at the board meetings, is to see where we stand budget versus actual on our efforts. I mean, we see how much money's gone. We see the budget at the beginning of the year. We kind of see money being spent during the year, but we never tie the budget to our actual expenditures and see, you know, are we on track, are we off track? And I don't need to know every number, but if there's like a, if you can do a dashboard kind of a thing, that's four or five critical numbers.
And that's my fault. I've kind of been a little behind.
I know.
All the problems
in
the bond.
No
pressure. Usually I do it quarterly, and I just kind of been trying to catch up. So I will try to pull that together as soon as possible.
And, Dina, correct me if I'm wrong. Part of the issue is, and I absolutely agree with you, this is the encumbered money doesn't show up as actual. As a progress, as an actual expenditure?
I usually encumber the money into it. So when I do my formula and pull it out of the system, I add a formula where it includes the encumbered money.
Okay.
Yeah.
So actually,
so
the
yes, it will. Yeah.
Okay.
I can do it either way.
Okay.
But
and
I
you were explaining to me that sometimes we're not seeing accurate figures because the treasurer has not.
We're waiting on their time schedule as well. So it just kind of depends. You know, I could pull out numbers from December, but I haven't received my checks numbers that they utilized yet, and they haven't sent them back to me, so I can't add those in and then update and let you know what we really are at. So we are on their timeline as well, and they're typically...
Another long-term project.
Yeah.
Really
I know.
So we're on a, keep talking money, we're on a pay-as-you-need basis right now still. Only as you need. We're holding our payables as tight as we can right now.
We are. Mm-hmm.
And that's largely due to the waiting for the receipts of the bonds.
That's correct. And I think we're looking around the 19th, I believe. So yeah. It's coming in. So that's good. So April.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it looks good.
Yeah.
So you're feeling a little better?
I feel better, yeah.
Is the POS done?
Yes, it is.
It's done. Tonight or Wednesday night, you'll vote on adopting the 2016 audited financials. That's the last, part of that POS piece of the puzzle. We actually have a meeting with S&P tomorrow, I believe it is. And we have a pre-meeting to prepare for the meeting tomorrow. So, I hope they rate us.
Yeah. Well, we have a double A rating right now. Hopefully it stays that way or it gets better. I'm just hoping,
relax. It's they're just here. They're trying to find a good story.
Okay.
And you'll know 1,000% more than they will ever know. But you'll be surprised how much they know about the area.
Yeah, they started mentioning the Delta weeds. We're like, oh, that's not us.
No, that's not us.
The blue-green algae. Oh, no.
I remember going back to New York to meet the Standard and Poor's and Moody's and everybody else. And they start talking about these little micro projects in the area. I'm like, well, these guys are good.
Okay,
any other discussions? Next meeting, then, we've said is, did I hear right, today's the 13th, we're going to shoot for the 13th, well, it's not 13th.
Well, we've got
Do we know right now when the next meeting?
No, we don't.
We're going to go next quarter? Can we look it up and at least put a tentative date?
Sure.
That'd be June,
wouldn't it? Well, yeah, I said that incorrectly, March, April. Right. So June 12th is a Monday. We at least post that as a marker.
What was it? Was it May,
yeah.
June 14th?
June 12th.
Okay.
It's a Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if it's, you know, some reason it has to change.